guys ready? I'm not sure I am. When God is silent, this is part two. And as I was putting this together this week, it got to be quite difficult, and I was just in tears. And I was in tears because I realized the lack of my life of drawing close to the Lord. And so I think it's prevalent in all of our lives. And I thought last week was a great message. So if you haven't heard it, I want to encourage you to listen to it. And as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, man, this is even better than last week. And so you're humbled by that. And then I was in tears for that as well. And then I got a little nervous. I got to be honest with you. Because I'm like, God, if it was so good last week and this is even better, then I said, what am I going to do for next week? And so anyways, when I was done with this, I just was bawling, text her, and then shortly after that, Caleb calls, and he's like, Dad, what are you doing? And he's all cheery, and I said, I'm bawling. And he knows what that is. He's seen us. And he's like, what's the matter? I said, besides me, nothing. I said, but it's just amazing how good God is and how awesome he is towards us. It's overwhelming. And I said, I don't have words for it, so I'm just crying. So I don't know how this is going to help us. I do want you to know something. I don't think I've ever done this before. I'm not giving you any scriptures until the very end. And that's against my religion. But this is just the way it works. And we're going to reference last week without reading it quite a bit. So I hope that you got last week's. So when God is silent. Last week we looked at the 430 years between the time that God spoke through the prophet Malachi and the birth of Jesus. Now, we have to understand that God is always doing something. He's always at work, even when he's silent. Okay, especially as we go through hard and difficult and trying times, which we will. We're all going to have those times when we're going to go through things and we're going to wonder, where is God and why is he silent? And I just want you to know it's okay. But we have to understand that it's during those times when we don't hear him and we're going through difficult times, but we're keeping the faith that God is doing a deep work in us. A work that is not based on what we know and understand in the natural realm, but it's based on who he is, and he's bringing us to a new level. And it's during those times when we are to stay faithful, we're to stay true to the Lord, we're to keep the faith, fight the good fight of faith if we have to, and continue to trust God and do the right thing and trust that God is still working. But he's not just working in us, but he's working for a greater cause. Okay? So many times we base our understanding off what we see and understand in the natural. And when we don't see God doing what we know he can do and promise to do, then we can become a little anxious. We can even get more than anxious. We get a lot nervous. When we first moved here, it was 29 years ago, and when we brought our family here, I worked for my brother-in-law in construction. He was a contractor, and he built homes. I had never, ever done that before. I remember once we got here, he asked me, he says, what do you know about building? I said, absolutely nothing. Never done it. I said, the only thing that I can tell you is I know what a hammer is and I know what a nail and a screw are. I said, other than that, I don't know anything. And he almost had a sigh of relief, like, oh, good, now I can just train him the way I want him. However, I did go back to him about a year later, and I apologized to him, and I said, you know, I didn't mean to lie to you, but apparently I did. I said, I thought I knew what a hammer was, and I thought I knew what a screw and a nail were. I said, I had no idea there were that many hammers you could buy. I had no idea that there were that many screws and nails, and when you used them, and they had funny names like 8s, 12s, 16s. I'm like, and he would say, go get a box of 16s. And I'm like, 16 what? You know? And then we didn't have it. It didn't say it on the box what it was, what size it was. And I would look at him. I said, give me a nail that you want me to go get and I'll find it. I mean, that's how bad it. And so, I mean, when these people that build homes and stuff like that, it's a whole different world out there. Thank God they're there, though. Whew. But I learned about building a home from the ground up and how important it is to have proper foundation and how, especially here, but I'm assuming it's everywhere, how to have proper drainage as well. And so you have to dig out to be able to pour the footings for the foundation. And then usually around here, it's concrete walls that they put the fitting, that are put on the footings to hold, you know, and that's the wall of the foundation. And once you get all that done and you get the drainage in, and then you, around here, when I was doing it, I don't know what they do now, you tar the holes of where they were holding, you know, the forms and stuff. And once you get done with all of that and everybody's satisfied, then you know what you do? You push the dirt back. And the dirt goes against what you just laid, the foundation on the outside. And you know what? Nobody ever sees that foundation again. Nobody ever sees the footing. Nobody ever sees the drainage. But you know what we do? We thank God that it's there and it's working properly. And then as you build the house, you lay down the floors and stuff, and then you build the walls, and you do all of that. And then you have to run the electrical, the plumbing. And back in the days when I was doing it, we had to run telephone wires, you know, lines, so that you could plug in your telephone. Now, they don't do that anymore. At least I don't think they do. So, you know, you had to do all of that. And you did that because that was what was in the walls, and then you were going to put sheetrock on the walls, and you weren't going to see that anymore. And so you had to have it inspected. You had to make sure you knew what was going on and what was what, and, you know, all of this stuff. And thank God he was patient with me. I asked a lot of questions because I didn't know. And I remember the first house that we're building, he says, okay, he says, Richard, I want you to walk around the house and put up all the nailer boards that we need. I'm thinking, do you know how many pieces of wood there are up here? If you can't find something to nail something to, you have a problem. I'm like, what's a nailer board? And he says, well, when we put up sheetrock, he said, there's some places where we're not going to have a place to nail, and we have to have a place to nail. I'm like, well, why didn't we do that? And it just happens that, you know, you may have one wall this way and one this way, and they don't line up with the other pieces of wood that are there, so you have to put nailer boards in. And I'm like, okay. And so I went around and started looking for, and I asked him to show me one. And he showed me one up in the ceiling. He said, see how this comes here and this here? And we don't have anything there? I'm like, yeah. He said, we need a nailer board there. I'm like, okay. Oh. I'm thinking I'm done. We put sheetrock up. We brought sheetrock down. You want to know why? Because we didn't have a nailer board. And I'm like, oh my goodness. This is not going well. But I learned. After that house, I know exactly where they're supposed to be. I know exactly how you're supposed to do it. But the thing is when you're laying the foundation, you want to lay it so that it's secure. When you're building the walls and everything else, you want to do it so that it's secure. And when you put the sheetrock on, it's very hard to get to what's behind it after that. And if you have forgotten something or you've messed up, then it's hard to find it. It's hard to fix it. Because, you know, and we put our own sheetrock up. Thank God that there's people that actually that's their job is to put sheetrock. God bless them. May they be multiplied. And then they'll finish it and come in and paint it because, well, BJ can do it now. He can finish. He can do the mudding and stuff like that. God bless them. But all these people that do it for a living, they come in, they get it done, and they're gone. And you're like, whew, where were you when I was working on this? Because what happens is when you go into a home and even this building, you know, you think of how nice it looks. But we don't know everything that's gone on behind it. We don't know everything that's in the walls. You know, we see glimpses of it because we're able to flip a switch and the lights come on. We see glimpses of it because we're able to plug in something into an outlet and there's electricity there. Something works. We see glimpses of it when we're at the bathroom or in the kitchen and we turn the water faucet on and water comes out and hot is hot and cold is cold. We rejoice in that. But you see, it takes all of that work behind the scenes that nobody knows has really happened. And you're not there when it's happening usually. Because when they're building it, it's just the builders who are there. And then you come in to buy the house and all you see is how well it's built and how the pretty color of the paint and everything else. And so you think, wow, this is great. And so if it's built right, it is. It's great. But once that sheet rocks up, it's done. You know, you want to be able to turn on the heat in the wintertime and the cool in the summertime. And what a blessing when all the ducts have been run right and everything is hooked up right. And all you got to do is concern yourself with a little thermostat. Oh, life is good. We always see the finished product, but we don't understand what has happened to get to that finished product. And we can get mesmerized by how beautiful the finished product looks like. And we can enjoy the benefits, and that's awesome. But there's a lot of things that took place before that. And as we think about that, I want you to think about this. And I'm so grateful for all those who remained faithful, who kept the faith, who continued to trust God, even when they didn't understand, even when they didn't see how God was moving, but they continued to trust God. They continued to trust that God was working. But he was working even though he was silent to them. I believe that those who came before us, that they realized that God was doing something greater. And it wasn't just for them, but it was for a greater cause. It was for us who were coming behind. It wasn't just for them. It's kind of like admiring the beautiful home and being grateful for everything that went on behind the scenes that we cannot see, but we're so thankful that they're there. We're thankful that when we turn the switch on, there's power. When we plug something in, there's power. Water comes. We're thankful for all of that. But I want us to understand that we too, that in our times, the times when God is silent in our lives, we have to know that God is working for us, even though we don't see it, even though we don't understand it. He is working for us, but he's also working for a greater cause that is beyond you and I. God can be at work in our lives while at the same time be preparing for the lives of those who are still to come. And that's what's so amazing as I'm walking through this and putting this down, and I'm beginning to realize the faithfulness of all the other people who had gone before us so that we could stand here today and we could honor God and we could worship him. those who kept the faith and stayed the course and fought the good fight of faith and continued to trust God, not just for themselves, but for us as well. Hallelujah. What an awesome God and what awesome people they were. Think about it. Because of what they did, we can celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now think about this for a moment. Zechariah and Elizabeth, he's a priest, and God comes to him and speaks to him, tells him he's God's going to answer his prayer. He's going to have a son. They're well of age. They're not expecting this. But who is John the Baptist? He's the forerunner for our Savior. And so it's through Zechariah and Elizabeth, because they were faithful, and because those who were before them during those 430 years of God's silence, they remained faithful. And so when it was time for God to allow Jesus to come to the earth, there was a Zechariah and there was an Elizabeth who could have a John the Baptist, who, after they've done all of their work, we can stand here today and we can celebrate Christmas. We can celebrate this season. And in a few months, we'll celebrate the awesome season of Easter. But it was because of what they did before that. Think of Mary, how she conceived our Savior supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they were faithful. Somebody before Mary was faithful. They stayed true. They trusted God. They did what was right, even though the world around them was going in a different direction. They fought through the difficulties, and they continued to trust God. She thought that this baby, that it was just going to affect her, but you know what? It affected the rest of the world. But it was her, it was Mary who went, and all of those who went before her, and then now all of us who come after that. What an awesome God. That he was working in her life, but because there were other people who worked, that allowed God to work in their lives, prepared the way for Mary, and then Mary prepares the way for us. And we're here able to celebrate Jesus. And Joseph, who trusted that this child was indeed the Savior of the world, that he was going to be the one who was going to take away the sins of the world. He trusted that the angel of the Lord did speak to Mary about him. And Joseph could have thought it was just for him and his family. But the truth is that there was a greater cause. It was for us. It was for all of mankind. But for Joseph and Mary, it was because of those who remained faithful during those 430 years of God being silent. They continued to do the right thing. They continued to trust God. They continued to be faithful to God. And then, boom, Mary comes. This is the time. And I touched on this last week, that both of them, Mary and Joseph, they're doing everything that they were taught to do to honor God with Jesus, the Savior for all of us. They were faithful to it. They thought that they were just being faithful for themselves. But you know what? They were being faithful for us as well, for all of mankind. We talked about Simeon last week. Now, before I go on more with Simeon, I want us to pause and think about this for a moment. There's Zechariah and Elizabeth. There's Mary and Joseph. There's Simeon and Anna that God uses in this short story. By the way, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 if you'd like. So we have these people, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna, six people. Do you know how many people had a title out of that? I figured this out this week because I missed it last week. Out of the six people that God uses, two of them had a title in the church. Woo! That means all y'all sitting out there being lumps on a log, there's hope for you. God can use you. Do you know that I thought Simeon was a prophet? He's not. Do you know what the Bible says about him? He was a man. A righteous and devout man. That's all it says about him. Except for the fact that he came to the temple and honored God. I was looking for his title. I studied to find out the title of Simeon. And all he is an ordinary man who was led by the Holy Spirit, who was told that he would see the Messiah, shows up and sees him. But he's just an ordinary man. Zechariah and the prophetess Anna are the only ones who had titles in the church. Mary and Joseph didn't have any. Oh, hallelujah. So Simeon, it says that a righteous and devout man who heard the Holy Spirit, and he was just happened to be at the temple the day that Jesus was brought there, and blessed them, and blessed Joseph and Mary as well. He thought he was doing it for himself, but he was doing it for all of mankind to be able to receive salvation. He was making a proclamation of who this Jesus was. Why? Because somebody before him told him, there's coming a day. And Simeon was there when that day came to be. And now we get to talk about him at this time of the year. Because he was faithful. And there were those who were faithful before him that we don't even know about. We're going to meet some of them in just a second. And then the prophetess Anna, who was a widow, but she continued worshiping in the temple with fasting and prayer night and day, even to the age of 84. Now, 84 back then, that's an old age. She thought that she was coming to the temple to worship God and to fast and pray for herself. But in reality, she was doing it for you and I. She was doing it for us. She was doing it for all of mankind that was going to come behind her. No matter what we're going through, good, bad, and ugly, no matter what we're going through, God has a plan and a purpose. And I want us to understand this about whatever you're going through, good, bad, and ugly. It's not just about you. When we're in it, when we're in the middle of it, we think it's just about us. And we wonder how we're going to get through this. But it's really not about us at all. It's about God. It's about Him being faithful. It's about those who were faithful before us. And it's about those who are going to be faithful after us because they're going to find out what we did to be true to God, to be faithful, to trust God even when it doesn't seem like anything good is happening. Whatever you're going through, I want you to be encouraged that God can use it if you'll let Him. And He'll work things out in your life. He will. But even if He doesn't, it's not about us. It's about those who are coming after us as well. In Hebrews chapter 11, this is known as the book of faith because it talks about by faith and it lists all of these things that these people did. And it's exciting when you go and you read it. It's just breathtaking. But if you'll find yourself in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to cut through some things and start in verse 13. Hebrews 11:13. He's just talked. He's got a list of all the things that people have done by faith. Abraham, Moses, Sarah, all of them. Or not all of them, but most of them, the ones we know. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith. Oh, they died in faith. Isn't that awesome? Not having received the things promised. Woo! but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Everybody say afar. They didn't even get the reality of them. And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Wow. They died in faith. How are you going to die? In order to die in faith, you have to live by faith. Whew. Verse 14. For people who speak thus, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Isn't that awesome? And so what he's saying is you know what? If they were looking for where they came from in the natural, they could have gone back to that anytime they wanted to. But they weren't even thinking about that. They were thinking about what was to come. And he says, a heavenly one, a better country. That is, a heavenly one. And I just wonder, what is our mindset? Are we so consumed with what we see in the natural and we forget about those who are going to be coming behind us, after us? Continue in verse 16, he says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Isn't that awesome? So they're leaving something in the natural. They're going to go through some hardships. They all experienced hardships. They all experienced difficulties. And yet they kept their eyes, their hearts, their minds on what was to come. They didn't even receive the promise. Hebrews 11:32. Now, this is where it gets good. So just think about this. Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, here's what they did, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quench the power of fire, escape the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, woo, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Isn't that awesome? This is what they did. And that's awesome in and of itself. But they didn't have it all. And you know what they were doing it for? Because there was a city God was preparing for them. There was a people that were coming behind them, that were following after them. You and I, Mary and Joseph, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Simeon and Anna. Verse 35 says, women received back their dead by resurrection. Now listen to this. Some were tortured, refusing to escape release so that they might rise again to a better life. What do we complain about? What do we so easily get offended by? Somebody doesn't acknowledge us. Somebody doesn't give us the title. Somebody doesn't. Man, I'm glad they weren't thinking like that. Can I read 35 again? Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Verse 36 says, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, not for marijuana either. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Anybody been that close lately? And we think, oh, I'm going through such a hard time. Get alive. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And we complain. We complain. Now you know why I'm in tears, because I'm thinking, you are such a baby. You think you have it so rough. And at any moment, I can turn on a light, turn it off. I can change the temperature on the thermostat. I can be cool. I can be hot. I can do whatever I want to do. Don't have a care in the world. Verse 39. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They didn't even see it. God was working with them. God was working for them, through them. They did miraculous things. They suffered much. And God was with them. But why? Why did they go through it? Because there's us who were to follow. We were coming after them. And we have this time when we can celebrate this Christmas season of Jesus coming, but I want us and I hope that we realize that they did this so that there could be a Zechariah and Elizabeth and a John the Baptist and a Mary and a Joseph and a Simeon and an Anna and a you and a me. They did it for us. And I want to ask, what are we doing? How are we living our faith? Is it all about us and what we want and the title that we think we deserve and the acknowledgement that we think we deserve and all of these crazy, dumb things, and we haven't even been close to being sought into? Verse 39 again, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Verse 40, since God had provided something better, for who? For us. And I don't think he's talking about just them. I think he's talking about us today. He's provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And so I want to ask this question about us. What are we doing with our faith? You know, you've heard me tell the story. When Diane and I were thinking about getting married, or at least I was. I don't know if she was. And I remember sitting and asking her about things because I wanted to know, what are you thinking? Because I trusted that we would have kids one day, and when we had kids, we're not living for ourselves. We're living for them. We wanted to lay a foundation for them. We wanted to have something that they could build on. We realized that there was something greater than us. And in our heart's desire and in their minds now, they know this to be true because they've heard it from us so much that we expect greater things from them. But we were willing to pave the way. We were willing to stay the course, do the right thing, be faithful, keep the faith, fight the good fight of faith, no matter what, so that they could experience something greater, something far better. And I'm going through this, and I'm thinking about all this, and I'm thinking about how, oh, I have a lot of repenting to do. I have a lot of growing up to do. Because I'm putting this together and I'm thinking about all of this and I'm thinking about how all these people from the very beginning and their faithfulness and how it's affected me in a positive way. I couldn't imagine my life without Christ. I couldn't imagine walking in this world without Jesus. And I know what's coming next. When you finish Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 12 comes. And I know how verses 1 and 2 are. And I'm like, God, I'm like a little mouse, scared of my own shadow sometimes. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I'm thinking, wow, those are some great witnesses. Wish I could be like them. Wish I could do what they did. And I feel like God said, well, you can if you stop thinking about yourself. If you stop worrying about yourself and you start thinking about those who are coming after you, you can have what they have. You can die in the faith. You can live in the faith. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I mean, I have a whole new perspective of these two verses because of walking through this and understanding what I have now and seeing what they went through. But it wasn't just about them. It was for us. It was for the time that Jesus would be born, but it was the time for us as well. What legacy, what heritage are you leaving your children if God graces them, graces you with them? Verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Stand with me if you will, please. I have a question that I'm going to ask you in just a second, but I kept it in even though I think it's foolish. Let me just read the question. When we face difficulties, I mean, like, I'm thinking, the things that I call difficulties or like real difficulties? Things that I struggle with or things that they struggled with? The things that they had to go through. I mean, go back and read Hebrews chapter 11 and find out what they did and, you know, nobody's gotten a saw out for me lately. Don't know that anybody ever has. And I think I have troubles. I think I have difficulties. You know what my difficulties are? Me. I'm thinking about me too much. I'm thinking about my feelings. I'm thinking about how I'm offended. I'm thinking about me. So here it is. When we face difficulties, are we going to lose heart or are we going to keep heart? Are we going to let go or are we going to keep on going? Are we going to keep pressing in? Are we going to keep being faithful? Are we going to keep doing the right thing? That's the question. And the biggest question is, the difficulty is you. The biggest difficulty right now that you face is you. Because we have a messed up mindset about what a real difficulty is. Going back to Hebrews 11, that they face difficulties. And even when you face those difficulties, if that time comes and you face those difficulties, guess what? It's not even about you. It's about those who are coming after you. It's about those that you don't even know anything about right now. You don't even know their names. You don't know when they're coming into being. But they're coming. They're going to follow after us. And I want to leave them something that they can build on. I want to leave them a legacy and a inheritance that even if they're not mine, they can run with it. They can do greater things. There's a greater cause out there. And so when you think you're facing difficulty, and I'm not trying to minimize our difficulties, even though I am. Think about the greater cause. Think about those coming after us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would have the freedom to work in our hearts and minds, and that we would give ourselves to you. And if we die in faith, may it be. If we don't see the promise, it's okay with us because we're laying a foundation. We're working behind the scenes. And when you don't answer everything for us, we know one day, Father, there's going to be an answer. You're going to stand. You're going to return. And Father, I pray that when we go through difficulties, that we understand what real difficulties are by looking at your people who have gone before us. The so great a cloud of witnesses that have spoken so strongly. May we keep the faith. May we be found faithful and strong and true and right as we trust in you. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. All right, I forgot to put it in the bulletin and stuff, but next week we're going to have communion. I always try and do that before the Christmas. So next weekend, the 20th, we'll have communion. All right. Go have a great week.